Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in to our online affiliates around the world via our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I'm excited to welcome back international best-selling author Dr. Velma Bagby to our broadcast today. She's having quite the year this year. She has celebrated not only a top bestseller this year in her Catch series, but she's also released book 4 in the series called The Catch Book of Fools. I actually have the paperback edition here with me in the studio today. I was just sharing with her I created a video review for it. You all can find it on my social media platforms. We're going to talk to Dr. Velma not only about the new book, but also what it's been like for her to see the longevity of this series, how it's been able to resonate with people, not only when dealing with relationships, but also dealing with life as well. If you guys are just now finding out about the series, of course we'll let you know how to get it for yourself. But Dr. Velma, always a pleasure. Glad to have you back on with us.
Thank you, Cyrus. It's a pleasure to join you in this conversation as well.
Well, I want to say, I was just saying to you before we went on here, and I thought about it when I was first started reading the new book in the series, and we'll start there, Book 4, The Catch, Book of Fools, is that it's a great companion for sure to the three books we've gotten to see that were novels written in fiction, but also now you've given us this book that is great for relationships but also life. So I want to begin there. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are responding to the fourth book?
Well, as you know, there's no greater feeling for an author than to hear that the readers really love what you've written, they're excited about it, and just can't get enough of it. That feeling I have not had before. This is the first time I've been able to really get that kind of feedback, and I'm just excited about it.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely deserved, Dr. Velma. And I want to say, again, for those, as I say to you, Dr. Velma, every time we have one of these conversations, there will be some people say, what is the Catch series? Because they're just hearing about it for the first time, which I always believe is a good thing because you're reaching a brand new audience. So I want to talk about that. There are people who have been with you from book to book to book to book, now book number 4. But there are some people who are just discovering you. Talk to us about that experience of introducing the Catch series. What has that been like for you?
It's been really exciting because some of the people that have had an opportunity to get to know what the book is about have been in awe. And there's a lot of folks who have read it who are actually kind of my hidden marketers who are getting out there, I need to tell this person this. I have a friend at church that needs this book. And so it's like getting personal marketers, but not me at, you know, putting them on the payroll, but them so excited about what it has to talk about that they feel that somebody else needs to read it. So that's all wonderful to me. It's just amazing.
Well, before we dive more into book 4 and give our audience a taste of the 80 examples that you give us about fools and foolish behavior in the Bible, let's go back to the actual series itself. How did the Catch series initially start, Dr. Velma?
When you think about it, I released that book in April 2022, the very first one. I thought it was going to be just that one novel, did not expect to have any other books written. That was my goal. I had no idea that I would be where I am right now. So I wrote that book based on the fact that I felt I needed to figure out a method to communicate healthy dating habits more than what we have, what I've seen practiced, more than what I believe people have been given the tools to do. And so that's when I fell in love with Christian contemporary fiction. I felt that it was perfect because similar to the way Jesus spoke in his parables, which were fictional stories, he didn't apply any pressure to the person who needed to make some changes in their life or take a different approach. He simply told a story, allowed them to see themselves in it, and then provided them a way to change. And at the end, it was their decision. And so when I saw that and realized that, I began this journey with that in mind, to be able to write stories about dating and relationships where people can see their own mistakes in the stories, where they can see what they need to change. And included in the mistakes are the path to change, the path to correct what you may not be doing correctly. And so I'm excited about the fact that so many people recognized even the characters. They have named some of the guys they've been dating after the fish that they learned about in the very first book. So that was hilarious to me.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, for those who are just discovering it, you know, I have kind of drilled down on the relationship of a father and daughter you give us with Grayson and Veronica, mm-hmm. and the way that that has really grown in books 1, 2, and 3, from The Catch No One Wants to, of course, you know, being able to look at The Wrong Catch and then The Wrong Catch She'll Tear Down the House, and how they've been able to share what they've learned with others. But Dr. Velma, that's exactly what you've been able to do. You've been able to share what you've learned with others. So what has it been like for you to see people get it? Because I think, like you said, as Jesus used these parables and examples and illustrations to help people get the point, what has that been like for you as a teacher, you know, as an individual, to see people getting the point that you've been able to share with them?
It is the same feeling that a parent gets when you see your children actually grasp what you've been trying to teach them and train them all their lives, and then you see them as an adult really fulfilling all the principles that you instilled in them. It's that kind of feeling that you establish the principles, you share it with others, hoping that they will take them and apply it to their lives, and then you, when you see the fruit of that, you just get excited about it.
Yeah. And I think that is the big deal here. And I love the fact that you're able to do it in a way that is not preachy. And even with the new book, The Catch Book of Fools, even though it is based on Scripture, it is not what I consider a preachy book. You present the Scripture and then allow people to reason. Talk to us about what that was like for you, to be able to look at these examples as you share in the book. You know, you have, you know, what, some 200, you know, examples of foolish behavior being used in the Bible, but you chose these 80. What was it like for you just to be able to read those and then say, okay, you know, what does this mean to you?
I thought that the approach I wanted to take on that is, again, didn't want to come across as preaching, but wanted to present truth, because even though I talked about the importance of avoiding fools, not many people will know what that means. Not many people will know what the Scripture says about it. So it was important for me to demonstrate, look, this is not something I created on my own. This is something that God has said, has set in His Word. And there's a reason why He gave us so many examples. I'm going, wow, this is really powerful. Even in my own research, I thought, this is really powerful. So how best to present that would be to just give them a caption of what that Scripture says, just the title. I had to come up with these titles so that it would be catchy enough to get the person's attention, but reflects exactly what the Scripture says, and then give them a prompt, a question, something for them to consider and think about. So it's really your own self-reflection, is your own journey. Again, like that parable, allowing the person to do that discovery on their own and decide what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, and I think that is it. And I think that is exactly what Jesus and our own Heavenly Father has done for us as well. They don't make us do things. They let us know the consequences. And then it's up to us to make that decision for ourselves, what we're going to do as well. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You all are listening to Conversations Live, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad you all can be with us. Also tuning in those who are online affiliates around the world, including our podcast. We're speaking once again to international best-selling author Dr. Velma Bagby. Let's talk about that, Dr. Velma. International best-selling author. What has that been like for you as an author to get that recognition? Again, your book, your new book, was a number one new release. Congratulations again on that. But what has that been like for you to kind of take in?
Again, everything you've asked me so far is just overwhelming. It's shocking to me. It wasn't what I thought. There are people, I know there are authors who chase after these kind of titles. I didn't. I didn't chase after an international best-selling author title. I didn't chase after best-selling author. I simply wanted to do what I know I needed to do, and the hope was that the public, the audience would respond, and they did. And all of the books in the Catch series are bestsellers.
Yeah. So let's dive into book 4. Dr. Velma doesn't know which one of the the scriptures I'm going to be referring to. But since I have my paperback edition, we're going to go to page number 44 and talk about Proverbs 23:9, hates hearing godly wisdom. And again, this is one of those broad ones, Dr. Velma, that can go for parents and children, can go for relationships, can go for friends trying to give advice. And the prompt you have is this: anything that makes sense, he'll reject. What does this mean to you? And again, I love the phrasing, because you make the statement, anything that makes sense, he'll reject, and then you give us the opportunity to say, what does this mean to you? Talk to us about that, Dr. Velma, and let me tell you about the reason why I chose this one. Because I think it's twofold. What does it say to you about them? But your response to it, what does it say to you about you? Talk to us, though, about why you chose to use this one.
Well, it to me, it relates to the other one also that says that the person hates to listen. So you're talking about a person that makes it very difficult for you to have a conversation with, to make suggestions to just have dialogue with. Even if we're looking at making the decision, this is the person you're not going to have that kind of conversation with, where you're looking at the pros and cons of what's fast approaching in that whatever you're facing in that decision making process. This person will not receive any of it. How can you have a rational conversation with irrational people? You just cannot. And so here you have anything that makes sense. Can you imagine the opposite of something that makes sense, and then this person rejects it? And what does this mean to me? It means it's going to be a life of not being able to get through, not being able to have conversation, not being able to have your perspective received, all of that. So it's an argument waiting to happen constantly.
Yeah. The one next to it, though, I think is also powerful, and I thought about personal decisions we make. Dr. Velma, with them on page 45, Proverbs 12:23, fools broadcast his recklessness. And you say this: if he announces it and it's well known, how should you use this information? And let me tell you what I initially went to. I had a situation happen to me personally where a friend of mine was picking me up. They were always already running late, which is a pet peeve of mine. But, I try not to put myself on other people. Things come up. So, of course, to try to make up for time, he was speeding.
Wow.
I don't like to be with people who speed. and so I was already upset about being late. I became upset about them speeding. And I asked them very nicely, could you mind slowing? I'm not trying to tell you how to drive, but do you mind slowing down? I'm a little uncomfortable. And he's like, well, I drive like this all the time. Well, I've never had ridden with them before. But once we got where we were going, I said to him, I won't be riding back with you. I don't feel comfortable. Because you're telling me you ride like this, you drive like this all the time. So that tells me you probably, whether we're running late going home or not, you're going to be driving. And they apologize and everything. But I there are a lot of people who, again, that was a warning sign, Dr. Velma. That's the way I looked at it.
Absolutely.
Some people would say, oh, but that's just, that's just who they are. But that's what we do for a lot of people. Talk to us about this one and what you want us to remember about that. If we know, if it's being broadcast, this person is reckless, how should we use that information? Talk to us about what you want the listener to think about with that.
Well, you made a good point when you said that some people will generally say that, well, that's just who they are. And some people, in dating a person like this, that's the excuse they'll give. That's just their personality. Not looking at the fact that this is a red flag and someone you should not be associating with. And just like you with a friend, eventually I'm sure you weren't going to get in the car with that person anymore. And so you learn not to associate with them, as our parents warned us of, associating with the people with the wrong reputation. But this person, someone who's respectable will conceal some of the things they know. They will hold that information to themselves. Sometimes, even in our business, we've talked about this and you've talked to the group about the fact that some things you just conceal and keep to yourself until it's time to really share it. But a fool doesn't care about timing. they're just going to be proclaiming whatever foolishness they're doing at all times. So they not only act foolishly, but they brag about it and tell everyone about what they're doing. And even though people's perspective might be, wow, they're being really foolish, that the fool doesn't care.
Right.
They're just in the habit of bragging about what they do, and it's not something that's worth sharing with anyone. So they don't hold or conceal anything. Everything is well known because they're telling everybody about it.
Dr. Vam, I wasn't planning on going here with you, but you bring up a really good point, and this is going to step on some people's toes, but it's the truth is the truth, and I'm saying it, you're not saying it, but I am going to ask you about it. When you were just talking just now, and again, some people aren't going to like this, but it is what it is. The truth is what it is. We live in a world now where foolishness is almost rewarded, though, because you think about what's big online, on YouTube, and being salacious, people doing crazy things. That is what drives people. They're excited about that. What has that been like for you to look at, how we've gotten to a place where it used to be when someone was called foolish or a fool, that was seen as being negative. Now it's almost celebrated.
Yeah, to some extent, but in the scripture, God refers to the world as foolish.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, the world is foolish.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have to turn on the TV and watch the news for a short time, and you can see some really foolish things that people are doing, foolish decisions, foolish approaches. I mean, it's just God classifies the world, meaning the world system, as foolish. And so he urges believers to try to rise above that kind of behavior and show some dignity and some sense. And that's what we're being called to do. And that's why these scriptures are so important, like you said. It's not just for dating and relationships, although those are important. People just forget to look at the context of a person and what this really means. And to say that this is just how that person acts, or this is just the way that person is, it's just pretty ridiculous to me, because that's no excuse.
Yeah, it's such a – and I thought about it, again, as you were talking. I'm like, you know, we are living in a very interesting time where people think it's cool to do these crazy things. You know, that is celebrated at this point. And you can understand then why so many people then kind of gravitate toward that behavior and have normalized it. Right?
Right.
And I should say, that's why I guess when I was thinking about this segment today, it's like, yes, this is book four of this series, but it also is a great discussion piece in itself, I think.
Yes, it is.
Because it really should help family members to think about this, have conversations with their children, friends to have conversations with their friends about this, and, of course, us all to have conversations with ourselves, because the book also – it encourages that self-examination. So I want to go to another one, and I hadn't told you about this one either, but since I'm on a roll here, page 64, Proverbs 17:12, an angry narcissistic fool is like a ferocious bear. And your prompt is, do you want a person more dangerous than a ferocious bear? Why? And again, that may seem like you should know the obvious answer should be no, but for everyone, their actions don't always show that. Talk to us about this one and what you hope people take away from it.
I just felt like that one really stood out. You know, out of the 200, I selected this 80 for a reason. That one really stood out for me. I said, because if someone read this, I wonder what will they get out of it if they were to read it and just say, the words that you just read, it's like an angry bear. I mean, do we understand what that's really getting at? What does a bear do? A bear is not going to have conversation with you, and a bear is not going to sit down and let's sit down at the table and let's figure this out together. A bear is not going to do that. And it specifically said angry bear, because in many of the scripture references, it talks about a fool being someone with anger issues. So it's important for us to know that's important for us to recognize that God equates a fool to an angry bear. So there's no chance for you with an angry bear if you were to meet a real live one.
Yeah. So for you, were there any surprises for you? Well, let me ask this question before maybe instead of that one. What was the research project like for you? How did you come across how you researched the scripture when it comes to this book?
Well, pretty much just I'm a Googler. I Google.
Yeah.
I do the research. I use my AI tool to find out how many scriptures in the Bible that actually specifically refers to the fool, including, you know, some people think because it says he does this or he says a fool does this and he does that, because it has that he in there does not necessarily mean that it's men only. These
right.
scriptures apply to both male and female. And
yep.
God just referred to let a man, you know, if a man meet a bear and rob her of a cub, rather than a fool in his folly. That's the original language of the Proverbs. But it's important for us to understand that this is really serious business, and I thought it was important to just give people a taste of what God has said in his word without overwhelming them, but giving them enough to really pay attention to. These things really tell us a lot. It's great wisdom
yeah.
in them.
Such a great point. I totally agree. And I think if our audience, if they're listening to this conversation, I think they will get that as well, Dr. Bellman, that it really is a way of being able to look at this in a different way, but also to be able to think about ways that they can be able to apply it for themselves. And one thing Dr. Bellman does, if you guys don't have the book already, is once she gives you the scripture and she gives you the prompt, she has a place for notes there, as well as personal reflection. How do you hope they're able to use those two parts of the book, Dr. Melman?
I'm hoping that the women who make those comments, such as the one example you gave, that's just the way he is, that they will
yeah.
really listen to what this book is saying about the persons or the men they may be attempting to date or consider for a husband, that you pay attention to what is being said about foolish behavior so that you can avoid getting involved into a very dangerous situation, a very dangerous relationship. And so I hope that would be the takeaway, whether it's a person dating or a person in business or a person that's just in a friendship that doesn't work very well. We should pay attention to these behaviors.
Yeah, such a great point. It's such a great conversation, Dr. Bellman. I'm so excited for you and the new book. Again, The Catch Book of Fools is out now in paperback and Kindle. I have both. You can catch my video review of Book of Fools on my social media. We just posted it on Facebook and Instagram as well, so you guys can see it there. Also, of course, the book's available through our friends at Amazon.com. For those joining us via the podcast, you all will be able to find the Amazon link there in the show notes for this segment. Dr. Bellman, it's always great talking with you, but how can our audience stay connected with you?
They can reach me at drbellmanbagby.com. That's my website. And I'm also on all the social media platforms, so feel free to reach out. Looking forward to hear from you.
All right. And Dr. Bellman has a lot of things that are coming up. She has some speaking engagements coming up. And also, Dr. Bellman, tell them, we almost forgot, tell them about what else you're doing outside of the books when it comes to the series.
We have a fool's deck of cards, so playing cards that also reinforces the scriptures and gives you an opportunity to, in a playful way, enjoy with your friends and really continue to learn about what God describes as a fool or foolish behavior.
Love that. Definitely want to make sure our audience is like, now that I've read the book, Dr. Bellman, I'm excited now about the cards. I'm not a big cards person. I'm not a big gathering person either, but I'm going to work on that for this.
Mm-hmm.
We may do something virtually. Yeah, that's there you go, Dr. Bellman. You just gave me an idea. We're going to do a virtual event, and we're going to be able to do the card. That's what we're going to do. Well, Dr. Bellman, definitely excited about that. Continued blessings and success
you.
To you, and looking forward to our next chat together.
Absolutely. Keep soaring, Cyrus. We appreciate you.
Thank you. You as well, my friend. You as well. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. So let's go make today amazing. Take care.